Right now, though, we are going to the phone lines. We are joined by Allie Frazier from Ohio Right to Life. Allie, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's good to have you with us. And during this time of COVID-19, and I'm sure you guys are still continuing your work because in one of the most appalling decisions our government has made in recent times, and that's saying something, deciding to keep abortion clinics open in much of the country, because I heard kind of different things in Ohio. What is the official position? Because I heard some were saying, no, it's not essential, and they're going to shut them down, and they were going to open them up. Have they determined in Ohio whether they declared abortion clinics to be essential services? Because I know in many states they have, even though other elective surgeries have been postponed.
So in Ohio, the situation is kind of multifaceted. And honestly, it really goes back to about a month ago when Dr. Amy Acton went through and essentially canceled non-essential surgeries. And I think that happened on March 17th, so I think on St. Patrick's Day. She canceled those in order to conserve vital PPEs, personal protective equipment, for the use of hospitals and healthcare providers. And then what happened from there essentially was just kind of this tug of war back and forth between the Attorney General's office and between Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers in the state, kind of doing this tug of war between the two. So ultimately, Planned Parenthood kind of ran into the arms of the court to kind of protect themselves from the Attorney General's cease and desist letter that he sent to them, and they were able to be issued a temporary restraining order by a judge. So that's kind of the Cliff Notes version, but our Attorney General, Dave Yost, has been a strong advocate for life and has been really taking the fight to Planned Parenthood in terms of trying to get them to have those non-essential surgical abortions halted to conserve healthcare equipment.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically we're under this temporary restraining order then right now.
The TRO I know initially was issued, I think, a couple weeks ago. I'd have to double check my notes to get the exact date on that. But Planned Parenthood actually rushed to the courts. They rushed to Judge Michael Barrett, who is a judge who has looked favorably on them, unfortunately, in the past, and asked for the temporary restraining order. Attorney General Yost then did try to go to Judge Barrett and also to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals and say, like, hey, can you overturn this temporary restraining order? You know, this is not a good time to be doing this. And the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals actually declined. They said this is out of our jurisdiction. And then Judge Barrett, who has used his position on the bench before to prop up Planned Parenthood, did not reverse his order either. So right now we're kind of at this junction where we're just kind of exploring different options.
We're talking with Allie Frazier from Ohio Right to Life. And so obviously with COVID-19, lots of things are impacting us in lots of different ways, but you guys are continuing on with your work. So tell us what's happening with Ohio Right to Life.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, for me, it's been almost busier than ever. It's in times like these with the COVID-19 crisis where the value of human life is really just driven even more in terms of needing to be protected. So I've been super busy working on that. One of our newest things that we've done in the last month or so during shutdown has been to actually send out a comprehensive list of guidelines to actually ensure that no one is discriminated against during the COVID-19 crisis because of age or ability, just kind of outlining an ethical approach and kind of in a moment where there is the potential for a shortage of treatment. So that's something that we did that was pretty fantastic. But yeah, so that's been kind of one of our newest things.
And that's a great point to make because you guys aren't just about abortion. Obviously, that's a major area that you guys fight with, but
exactly, yeah.
Life, pro-life is life from natural birth or from conception to natural death. And
exactly.
There is a concern, I think, you know, of rationing of care. Now, you know, I know New York City has been stressed. Other than places like that, we haven't really seen the stresses that they feared on some of our hospitals and things like that in most parts of the country. But, you know, there certainly was that concern. You know, well, we don't think we can save this person. We're going to just go on. And so what were the guidelines that you issued to say, hey, you know, because, you know, I don't want to sound wrong, but, you know, if you have a patient that, you know, there's 4 ventilators, you got 5 patients, and there's one who's clearly not going to make it. I can understand doctors in that moment facing an ethical trial of, you know, do we save the people we know we can save? So it can lead to a lot of really difficult decisions for doctors who you know, not because they're callous or don't care about life, but they're just in a hard place. So what were some of the ethical guidelines that you guys sent out to help doctors and help healthcare workers who might be put in some of those hard situations?
Yeah, exactly. And the hope was that in putting out these guidelines, we would make it so healthcare workers and doctors and nurses never put in those hard positions, right? Because they have to protect life, and we don't want them to have to be in the hot seat, essentially, to make those decisions kind of in the moment. So our guidelines had a couple, honestly, there are several of them, but kind of the ones that stick most out in my mind are the guidelines ensure that patients can't be discriminated against because of age or ability. So they can't be denied care because they're older or because maybe they have special needs. And then also affirming that assisted suicide and legalized euthanasia is not the answer. No healthcare worker should ever intentionally take the life of a patient. And we just kind of want to reaffirm that respect and dignity for human life in those guidelines. But yeah, so they're designed to take the pressure off of doctors and nurses and reaffirm the dignity of human life, even in these situations where hard decisions do need to be made sometimes.
So in other words, that medical decisions are made purely on medical terms, not allowing anything else to come in.
Yeah, that's actually a really good way of putting it. Yeah, because like there are situations like that, right, where they could arise where it's like, oh, we have, you know, five patients in one ventilator and stuff like that. When situations like that arise, obviously we want to do everything we possibly can to save those patients. But we do live in an imperfect world, so we do get put in situations where hard decisions do need to be made. But when they are made, it's vital that those decisions aren't made in from a place of discrimination and human lives aren't being assigned value or some sort of sliding scale type of thing because of their usefulness to society. So things like prognosis, are they already dying? Are they responding to treatment? These are the kind of metrics that can ethically inform decisions without discriminating against someone because of their age or ability. So that's kind of why these guidelines are important, is because we want to make sure that we are approaching this situation that is really tough and not losing our humanity and still having a code of ethics that we're able to fall back on when situations do get tough.
And I know probably COVID has probably taken up a lot of the time of the assembly, and I don't even know if they're meeting or how they're meeting. So is there any kind of legislation that we need to know about, or is everything kind of on the back burner right now because of the COVID-19?
Yeah. Things are pretty quiet now in terms of the legislature just because of COVID-19. But I will say we have a lot of legislation that's actually in the state house, so to speak, right now. We have been working on a lot of different things. We have a abortion pill reversal bill, which essentially strives to make sure that women who are getting chemical abortions know that there's a chance that the process can be reversed if they do so desire after taking the first abortion pill. So the Abortion Pill Reversal Information Act is a really cool one that we've been working on. We also have the Human Life Protection Act, which essentially outlaws abortion in Ohio. So that one is kind of like our big one that we're working on right now. Obviously, with COVID-19, nothing pressing or crazy is happening right now in terms of our legislation moving forward. But we expect that to change come fall. So what I would recommend is if people want to get involved and they want to know more about the legislation we have and maybe even how they can help, to check out our website, ohiolife.org, and just kind of poke around there. There's lots of good information about our different pieces of legislation and then also great information about how they can get involved.
Allie Frazier joining us from Ohio Right to Life. Once again, Allie, give folks the website if they want to find out more information.
Yeah, absolutely. OhioLife.org. And you can also sign up for our e-blasts as well, which are really fun. I send those out, so I promise I'm not going to fill up your inbox. But it's great if you want the best in pro-life news and also to just kind of stay up to date on what's happening here in Ohio.
Excellent. Hey, Allie, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate you giving us an update and keeping us updated on what's going on in our state.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.